The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on WMAL.
Okay, so the time has come for you to pick your real estate agent. And you're not sure. You've got all these great marketing schemes out there. You hear people, you hear about people, you see people on signs, you see them on the TV, whoever they might be. So how can you look out for yourself? What are the flags you should be aware of? This is the negative side. You know, you introduce yourself to somebody, you interview them, and they tell you all the wonderful things that they can do for you. And look, you're not going to sell every house in the first 5 days. And regardless of any advertising that goes on that says, we sold our house in 6 days with this broker and 7 days with this broker, the reality is that not every house sells that way. I put a house on the market in North Arlington just 2 weeks ago. We actually put it up on a Thursday, presented an offer on Tuesday, and we sold it for full price, $1,200,000 cash. Yep. Well, that didn't take long. We had another home in Ashburn we put on the market a week and a half ago. That property came on the market for $575,000, and we sold it for $570,000, just under our asking price, in a week. The market can be like that. But then we have other properties that go on the market, and the activity on that particular property does not get the interest that the seller expects, wants, and the agent hopes for. So what I'm going to talk about is not that every house is different, because we all know that, and every home is going to be received differently, but that you want to look out for with agents that you're thinking about hiring. See, the proliferation of online real estate information makes it easier than ever to be an informed consumer when buying or selling your home, right? Yet the digital revolution has done really little to lessen the importance of choosing the right real estate agent to work with you. The right agent can help you buy your dream home or sell your house, existing home, quickly. Mm-hmm. The wrong agent can botch the transaction, leaving you with egg on your face and nowhere to call home. So think about that. Suppose you want to sell your house, but you sell it too fast and then you don't have anywhere to go. That's not a good thing. So you want to have somebody who can protect you. If you can't move quickly and you have nowhere to go, you want to have an agent who understands how to sell the house quickly but keep you in your place through a rent back option, for instance. So despite these high stakes, many buyers and sellers give very little thought to choosing an agent and whether they're buying or selling. They get dazzled by these great listing presentations, says Michael Soonley, who's a regional manager of Better Homes and Gardens in Walnut Creek, California. He likens the relationship to dating. It's a long-time, intimate, trusting relationship. If it doesn't start out feeling good at the beginning, it's probably not going to get any better. The main reason why people don't feel good, in my opinion, this is Eric Stewart's opinion, is that there's a lack of couples therapy in the process of selling the house. That's what I call it. When you list a property, it's important that you stay in close contact with your client, even if you have no showings, even if there's no activity online. The relationship needs to be the bedrock of the selling process for you and for your client, the seller. How do you do this? Well, and we all make mistakes in this business. And so we had a client not long ago who brought this to our attention, that they were not being communicated with sufficiently. And I discussed with the agent who was working within my group with this couple, and she said, well, I'm sending them the information about what we're doing, and I've called them and I've talked to her, and she's told me that's enough, that we don't need to talk to him as well because he's busy or whatever might be going on. And I think I'm doing a good job. And as I probed deeper, I realized that the agent in my group was missing something. She was missing the relationship with both of the sellers that she needs to have. And I know this from my own past, having sold now for 27 years and over 2,500 houses under my belt. I've been through circumstances where I've only talked to one of the sellers, and you know what ultimately happens is that one seller only reports about 10 or 20% of everything that's said to the other seller, and the other seller hears different things than the first one, And over time, that imbalance in the conversation leads to dissatisfaction and an incomplete communication cycle. So I call it couples therapy. It's a little tongue-in-cheek. And the goal really is, as a seller, is to let you know what we're doing, where we're going to be doing, and what we've already done, and to stay in touch each week and tell you what we're doing so that everybody's involved. And so when I brought this idea to the agent in my group, she said, you're right. I didn't do that, and I should have done that. And, you know, there's sometimes oversight issues. Something on the web is not represented correctly. Occasionally, it's very, very important. For instance, maybe it's a four-bedroom house, and it's only posted as a three-bedroom. So good presentations, good marketing presentations convey optimism, they convey competence, and they convey consistency in communication. Those are all important traits in sustaining an excellent relationship, even if there are no showings. You might be on the market. You may be getting no interest. But if you have confidence in the realtor that they're doing what they said they were going to do, then you're not going to have a concern about continuing that relationship, correct? Most agents are just independent contractors, so please understand. And we're paid a commission based on the number of homes that we sell. The commission is paid from the sales proceeds. It's usually split between the listing agent and the selling agent. And once the deal is closed, each of the agents usually has to pay a share to the broker who owns the office where he or she is affiliated. Don't be afraid to ask questions about how many listings the agent has, how many homes they've sold. If you're a seller, ask how the agent's going to market your home. If you're a buyer, ask how the agent's going to send you listings and whether they've worked with other buyers in your situation. If you're selling a house and it's a $900,000 property, and the agent who's interviewing to sell your property has only worked FHA properties before and really hasn't done the conventional side of it, maybe doesn't understand the audience of potential purchasers, you want to find somebody who can articulate the value of your home, but also know who the audience is and convey that and understand how to make the whole process work financially for those prospective purchasers. These are nine flags that I want to mention to you today. So I'm going to cover the first five real quick right now. And I think next week I'll cover the next four. So the nine, the agent suggests that the highest price for your house, if you're selling your house, get the listing presentations from at least a couple of agents. And you want to compare those. You want to consider whether the price that they're offering you is the highest price and why is it. Occasionally, I'll put a house up like I'd put a home on Snowbound Court in Vienna on the market for $675,000. We sold that house in, guess what, less than 10 days, and we got our list price. We were the highest price compared to the other four brokers that the seller talked to. We sold them on the confidence that we had in the value of the property, and they agreed, and they bought that opportunity, and they got the response and the reward for that. However, I just want to carefully measure how high that price is in relationship to what the history is. Number two, the agent does real estate on the side or part-time. Gosh, I'm running out of time for this segment. Look, I'm going to cover the rest of these nine flags next week on the show. So come back and join me then. My guests are just arriving, and we'll be right back with them in just a moment.